Welcome to the Fat Yogi Show, featuring interviews with amazing fat yogis with compelling conversations about being fat and their yoga practice. These interviews create a space for inclusivity and support for fat yogis from all over. I'm Tiffany Crow, yoga instructor, fat chick, and now podcast host with a goal of giving power to anyone to say, I am a fat yogi. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey friends, did you know that I teach yoga classes? Yep, that's right. Me, Tiffany, your podcast host, also teaches yoga classes Monday through Thursday. I have morning classes and evening classes. I also record them and then post them on Vimeo. So if you'd like to join in, I have a free class on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and all my rest of my classes are $15 or $29 for the month. $29, that's it. And the first, I think I have 40 more fat yogi shirts. The first 40 people who sign up get a free fat yogi shirt, and I'm super excited to be giving these out. A lot of people have been asking for them because I've been wearing it all over my social media, and this is how you get it. Go sign up for my membership, fatyogicrew.as.me. Description has all the links, and I appreciate you guys' support so much. Shelby Osborne is a yoga teacher in training. She is an advocate for body neutrality and applying a self-compassionate approach to your movement practice. Shelby believes strongly in social justice and creating equality for all people. Shelby teaches how to use yoga and other forms of embodied movement to connect deeper into the wisdom of your own body. I'm so excited for you to listen to this week's guest, Shelby. Hi, is this Shelby?
Hi, yes, it is.
Hi, Shelby. This is Tiffany from the Fat Yogi Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. I'm so excited to be chatting with you today.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, what are you currently working on right now? Like, do you have anything you want to plug before we get started?
Honestly, no, not really. I mean, I just started a Facebook group, so I guess that.
Okay.
And just like following me on Instagram, but that's about it right now.
Okay. And then what's the name of the group?
It's called Moved by the Stars.
Moved by the Stars. And what happens in the group?
I just started it, but I'm planning on sharing about like yoga, intuitive movement, embodiment, mm-hmm. and then astrology and like pairing embodied movement with astrology.
Oh, I love that.
That's yeah, so cool. I'm a newbie, so I'm kind of using it as a space to share as I learn too.
But yeah. There was a yogi in my yoga teacher training who was obsessed with all things that was astrology. And she'd go around asking everybody like, oh, where's your moon and sun and this and that? And I'm just like, I have no idea. You know, but it's so interesting because it's like when she knew what my stuff was, it was dead on.
Yeah, I've just like, I've been learning lots of more about my own signs and where my planets are. And it always just resonates with me so deeply and just gives me kind of like insights on what direction to take or how to be kinder to myself. So I feel like it's not, you don't have to follow it completely, but it's just nice to like kind of give you guidance.
Yeah, totally. And to know like there's something more than like you on this earth, like
yes,
you exist in a time where you can like have that knowledge too. So it's so cool.
Yeah, I totally think. Yeah. I mean, I'm quite spiritual. So I think we're just like a spirit. And that actually that's kind of coming up in my yoga teacher training right now that like we aren't our body. We aren't our mind. We're like the spirit that inhibits that. And yeah. I definitely resonate with that.
So where are you taking your teacher training at?
I am doing it online with my vinyasa practice.
Okay. And how's it going? Like, where are you at in the teacher training?
I'm still pretty much at the beginning. So I'm still in the first section. I'm taking it quite slowly. I'm working full time too, so I'm kind of just taking my time and really letting the information sink in before moving on. So I signed up maybe 2 weeks ago, so I'm still at the
Oh my
beginning.
gosh. Wow, this is like a really recent revelation for you then to like do a yoga teacher training.
Yeah, I think it's always been something that I've wanted to do. I always envisioned myself kind of doing it in Thailand or something. And
All
then
right.
with the current situation, I was like, why not take that first step and do it online? And if I want to do my 300 hour in Thailand, I still always have that
Oh
opportunity.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know like three different people have messaged me that they've started yoga teacher training online through this pandemic, and it's been like so exciting for them. Like they are so happy that they had the time to do it. So it's like the perfect time, I feel, for so many people right now.
Yes, that's how I was feeling too. I was laid off when I first signed up, so I just got my job back. So I was like, I have all this time, and now I'm kind of fitting it in.
Oh,
But
right.
it's just like I like that it's about your own personal practice a lot. Like I've always loved yoga, I've always done yoga, but I'm finding now that I've signed up for this that I'm making much more of an effort to do it every day or to do my
Yeah.
meditation or my pranayama, and it feels like a self-growth experience going through the training.
Yes. So you're at the very beginning. Wait till you get to the end. I'm excited for you because it sounds like you're already a spiritual person. So it's like you're just gonna just really lean into that spiritual side. So that's amazing.
Yes, definitely. That's what I'm most looking forward to, is learning more about the spiritual side of it.
Awesome. So is that what made you sparked you like wanting to teach yoga, or what was the, the launching point for that?
Yeah, so I was doing body image coaching last year for about a year, and I got really burnt out doing that. It just didn't, I like talking about that kind of stuff, but I had a hard time really coaching people through their own body image issues. And I wanted still a way of teaching people how to be in their body, and yoga's been such a huge tool for me to do that. Because I love yoga so much and I want to be able to help people, I felt like it was a good thing to be able to pair together.
Yeah. So body image consulting, you said?
Like coach, yeah. I like
Coach.
changed my name a few times, but I was like a
Yeah.
body love coach, body image coach, yeah.
Yeah. So you would like get clients and they would say like they don't love their body and you would help them see like the beauty in it. Is that essentially what it is?
Yeah, exactly. So, a big focus on intuitive eating and health at every size was really where I was coming from. So, helping people to repair their relationship with food and start to trust their body and let their body be the size it is and know that that's okay, and look at some of the underlying stories that come from us not loving our bodies as a society as a whole, and how fat people are treated and all of that.
Yeah, it's crazy because like diet culture, that whole like thought of I need to be thinner, I need to be on a diet, it's so ingrained in us. So that's probably where that like drain was in that position, like them not being able to like switch that mindset off or.
Yeah, it was part of that. And to be honest with you, some of it was just the business side of things. Like, I put all this pressure on myself to be like, oh, you need a business coach. And I'm like someone who's already in other debt from like student loans. And I just felt like I wasn't getting ahead with my business. I was going more in debt. And I was trying so hard to say the perfect thing and to put out content all the time. And I think I really relate with people saying, like, trying to earn their worth through productivity. And I think that's one of my triggers. And I found myself doing my business. So that's why I'm going at this new business. I wouldn't even call myself a business right now. I'm just kind of sharing things online and taking it really slow right now.
Awesome. And
Yeah.
you said you're working someplace else as well, or?
Yeah, I have a full-time job working at a marketing company, in a call center that
Oh,
I'm doing
okay.
remote at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, well, at least you still have a job. I mean, in these times, it's crazy.
Totally. Yeah, I got laid off for about a month and a half, and I was actually really grateful for that time to like slow down and
Sure.
rest, but super grateful also to have my job back.
So you right now are So when you introduced yourself to me on the email, it says you're body acceptance activist from BC, Canada, working towards your... So what exactly is a body acceptance activist? Is that the new kind of role that you're putting yourself in for the new business?
No, not really. I just am still sharing that message.
I love that. Okay.
And I'm not doing it nearly as regularly as I was, but it's still such a big part of me. Like, I was trying to be like, okay, I'm just going to talk about yoga and body movement and astrology, but then the body love stuff just naturally keeps coming out of me, and mm-hmm. people engage with it and they want to hear it, and I can see how it helps people. So yeah, I'm just sharing the health at every size message and trying to break down fat phobia.
I love that.
Just a big part of me. Yeah.
And then let's talk about how you grew up, like how you were treated as a kid and all that. You had a pretty close-knit family. You had a couple of siblings.
Yeah, so I am a middle child to two sisters. I have one 2 years older than me and 2 years younger than me. I also have a brother that's 7 years younger, but I just remember as a kid, my two sisters, even though one's older, one's younger, they always had different bodies than me. They were always smaller than me. I remember with food too, they always had different attitudes towards food. I would always like want that second helping. I was always willing to try everything. My mom said she loved to feed me because I wasn't picky, where my sisters were more of the picky kind of eaters, which I'm not saying that my body was bigger because of food, but I'm just saying I related to food in a different way than my sisters did. And I just remember kind of always feeling like my body was wrong, and I didn't really know how to verbalize that at a young age, but I just felt like something's wrong with me because I don't look like my sisters.
Wow. Did your parents ever like point out that, or where did that thought come from?
You know, I don't remember like from a very young age my mom saying things, but I do remember my mom saying things as I got older. Like, she, which I just think this is crazy now, but she would tell me like to suck in my stomach all the time, because she said that that would help me gain like ab muscles, and that would make my stomach thinner if I sucked in it all the time, which I just think is so silly now looking back. But and food, I remember her, a lot of times her saying like, you shouldn't have that second helping, or you've had enough. And I did struggle with binge eating later on. And when I look back at where that stemmed from, I think those messages of you've had too much, that it comes from there, because that just made my little inner rebel be like, well, screw you. You can't tell me what to eat. Like, I'm going to just eat more and more and more. And then also like hiding food, not so much hiding food, but hiding how much I ate. If I was going to get a second helping, I'd try to do it like secretly. And so I think those binge tendencies probably started young, even though they didn't really develop into a problem until later.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, it's not funny, but like, it's so relatable for me, because as you're saying each of your stories, I feel like I had that same memory. I could remember the same thing that you're saying when I was growing up, you know, the sucking in your stomach more will get ab muscles. Like, it's like how there's this bar set, and it's like, this is how you parent fat kids. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, you shouldn't eat that, and you've had enough, and things like that. Like, it's just like, that's the gold standard across the board.
Totally. You know? And it's like, she's, of course, our parents are only doing the best that they know with what they have. And so they probably had fear of fat too, and didn't want their kids to have to deal with what it's like to live in a fat body. So I do understand and have compassion now from where she was coming from.
Totally.
I don't agree with it.
Yeah. And it's interesting to have conversations with your parents now that you're older and say, like, do you realize this about how we were raised and everything? And a lot of times the conversation just leads to, well, it still is like that, you know, like they're still very deeply like ingrained, that thought process hasn't exactly changed. At least for my mom, it hasn't. So
Yeah, I can resonate with that a lot, actually. So when I started body image coaching, I started a brand new Facebook because I was posting a lot of pictures of like in a bikini, and I just didn't feel comfortable having like everyone from my high school seeing it. And I remember having my mom on that Instagram account at first, and she made so many comments like, "Okay, yes, you're beautiful, but do you really need everyone to be seeing this?"
Oh,
and all this
goodness.
stuff. And then I just ended up blocking her. And
Yeah.
she's made comments to me before, like I didn't fit into a jacket at Christmas time, and she said, "Oh, just lose 5 pounds." And I just looked at her like, "It's not that, like, no, you don't understand. It's not that easy to just lose 5 pounds. What, and ruin my mental health?" Like, yeah, I don't think my family fully gets where I'm coming from, but I've learned to accept that.
Well, and it's so ingrained, and that's the only way they know, and
Totally.
it is what it is. But yes, I feel for you, and I feel you. And then as you kind of got older, like what was school like in high school, and your friends? Was everybody kind of the same size as you? Were you like bigger than them, or how was that in your
Yeah.
growing up?
So I was a little bit bigger. I was always just a bit bigger. Even now I'm like just on the bottom of plus size. I feel like I've always been just a bit bigger than everyone. But I remember it being a big thing with clothing as a teenager. All my friends, I had a pretty good girl group of friends, and they would all share clothes, and we'd all go out and switch clothes. And I always was never able to really share clothes. Even sweaters a lot of times were too tight. And I just remember that always like feeling like I was a little bit different or something was a little bit wrong with my body. But to be honest, even though I had those thoughts, I never actually tried to lose weight until I was probably about 19. So it's like I thought something was wrong with my body, but I didn't realize there was a way to,
Change
quote
it.
unquote, change it. Yeah.
Would your parents like be restrictive with like they didn't put you on a diet, obviously, or do you think they did, or how was like that type of lifestyle growing up?
Yeah, no, I don't actually remember anything like that. Never. As much as my mom did make sometimes little comments, I don't. She was never super controlling, and she'd
Oh, that's
tell me,
good.
"Don't have that second helping," but she didn't actually stop me if I wanted that second helping. My mom's the type of person that likes to feed people too, so I think she loved to feed. And even though she didn't like me having the second helping, she was happy that someone was enjoying her food, you know.
Isn't that interesting how like food and like family and like happiness all kind of like then it's like this comfort, you know, and then it's also that shame. It's so crazy how all of those things are intertwined with each other.
All intertwined in food and something that we need for survival too. And it's, yeah, has so much mixed emotions and feelings attached to it.
So, and then as you kind of grew up in your college days, did you have any boyfriends like going through high school? Like, did you have any, or did they start as you got older? What was that like?
Yeah, so I dated someone most of high school. And yeah, I think I remember writing this to you in the email. Because I felt like my body was wrong, I always kind of went after men that I thought I was good enough for, which I was like, I was lowering my standards because I didn't think I was attractive enough, I guess, to get the guy that I really wanted. So I would lower my standards and convince myself that I wanted this other person that was either kind of quiet or had some kind of red flag or quirk, but I would ignore that. And not throwing shade on my ex-boyfriend because it was a great relationship. But I did chase someone, and I ended up dating him for 6 years. And then
Oh,
I got
wow.
out of that relationship, and I've been in my current one for 6 years.
Oh, my
So I've
goodness.
always been in long relationships. Yeah. But I've noticed at the times that I'm single where that kind of unworthiness does bubble up, and I really need that validation from men. I notice that in myself, and how much it affects me when I feel rejected. And I feel a lot safer, to be honest, in a relationship.
What about your dad? Like, did you have a good relationship with him growing up too?
I did until I was about a teenager, and then I didn't get along with his new wife, and
Shocking.
there was like a fight and he didn't believe me with what happened. And that really, really damaged our relationship because I've always been someone that really valued honesty. And so not being believed really bothered me. But I've actually done some work around like the father wound and the mother wound. And I always expect more to come up around my father, but it always ends up coming back to my mom. But I did have a good relationship with both, I would say, for the most part. I was a high value teenager.
Because you were talking about your mom a lot, and then as you were mentioning your romantic relationships, I'm like, wait a second, she didn't even mention her dad, and like you just said the same thing there, so isn't that interesting?
Yeah, like with body stuff, I don't remember my dad ever making a single comment. But yeah, it could be tied to the needing validation from men, could come back to how I felt towards my dad. But I feel like at the younger years, my parents were both really there for me a lot.
Oh, that's good. And then you did have your own disordered eating and other exercise issues. Tell me about that.
When I was, so I guess, like I said, I started trying to lose weight when I was 19, and that kind of ebbed and flowed. College, I kind of gave it up, and I was excited to be going to pubs and living on my own. And then I found Beachbody, and that's where things kind of went downhill. I ended up getting really, yeah, just trying. I think, no, what happened was I lost a bunch of weight with one of their programs, and then I kind of just got addicted to, like, I need to be small, and I was never small enough. I was always trying, and it was always a yo-yo for me because I would try and eat super, quote unquote, clean or healthy, and then I would. So fast forward, I guess, trying to diet. I was, yeah, always trying to eat like this perfect diet every day with these containers, measuring everything out, and I'd do good all day, and then I'd come home and I'd binge. And I just couldn't control myself at night, and I would eat literally everything in my house that I could get my hands on. And then I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel so disgusting. So I would overexercise. I'd eat my perfect day of food again, and then it would happen again. It ended up becoming a cycle where it was almost daily. And that's where I started to reach out for help. And that's how I found intuitive eating. But I have to say, when I first found it, it was okay, Shelby, get your binging under control so you can finally be thin. I had no idea where it would all take me.
That's so interesting. So, speak more about the intuitive eating just for people who've never thought about it and what it is and everything.
Absolutely. So intuitive eating is. I guess essentially it's in listening to your body for what how you should feed yourself and what you should feed yourself. And it's similar to mindful eating where we're slowing down and we're checking in. Okay, well, what do I actually feel like today? Or, and am I full? How much, like, as you're eating the food, do I actually want more? Am I full? Those sort of things. But I think mindful eating kind of stops there where it's like, okay, you're not supposed to eat past fullness. Where intuitive eating, I feel like it's really about just compassion for yourself. So, yeah, you might overeat some birthday cake, or you might eat something when you're not actually hungry because someone's offering it to you. And all those things are okay because it's normal, and food is such a big part of our culture. It's kind of just like we talked about earlier, all the shame around food. I feel like intuitive eating strips away that shame and just says, hey, like, trust your body. Because you do know what you want to eat, and you don't need to control it so much. And when we control it, for me anyways, that's when I feel out of control and binge, where letting myself have complete food freedom was the only way I could stop binge eating.
Yeah, I found to be the same. It's like I had never it's crazy 'cause like I've been overweight forever. I lost a bunch of weight, and I gained it back, this and that, all the stories. But like now I know like it's okay if I want to eat that thing, but I'm not going to feel guilty over it. And then, it's all about oh, maybe I don't want it. Maybe I'm just eating it because I'm bored or whatever, and like stopping yourself a little bit. Because like last night my husband got me a biscotti with my tea and I was like, I'm not really into it. Whereas before, if food was placed in front of me, I would just eat it mindlessly. Like it
Especially a
didn't
treat.
matter.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, I love this like intuitive eating. I want to do it more. I want to like maybe even work with somebody. And I've been following a lot of dietitians and just kind of listening to the messages because, you know, and if you're thinking about going down this path, whoever's listening about intuitive eating, just keep in mind like finding the right person, I think, is probably important, or whoever the message you want to listen to. Because I think a lot of people out there think, oh, I can just eat whatever I want. And, you know, and then people say, I tried it and I gained 30 pounds. Like, what would you say to those people?
Totally. So that is a big, I guess, critic of intuitive eating. And so the way I see it is when you've been dieting for a long time and you've been not allowing yourself to have the things you want, and you first break away from that, there's a good chance you're going to want to maybe eat cookies all day, maybe eat cake, maybe eat all those things that you didn't want to eat or that you wouldn't allow yourself to eat before. But eventually, our bodies do ask for nutritious food. So I think for me, I can go days where I will just eat fast food and pizza, and my body will literally like tell me, okay, you need some veggies or you need to switch it up. And the key is being able to like tune in and listen to those nudges and listen to what our body's telling us. And that's not shaming myself because I had fast food and it made me feel bloated, let's say. Instead, it's just, okay, yeah. You ate fast food the last couple of days, didn't make you feel great. What if you tried something new today? Maybe we should have a shake or something. But I think first and foremost, intuitive eating can't be a means to try and lose weight. And if you look at, and I think what you said about finding the right people is really important. It should be anti-diet dietitians are the most times doing intuitive eating. And if you look at the creators of intuitive eating and the book itself, it does say that it is about eating in an intuitive way and then trusting your body, that your body knows how to take care of you and how to handle the food. And yeah, just when I stop trying to control my body, I'm able to just actually choose foods that do feel good in that moment, whether for taste-wise or for physically how I want to feel.
Yeah, I love that information that you're giving, 'cause it's like, yeah, find the right person, read the book, trust your body. Don't stress if you're gaining weight. In fact, throw away your scale. And then also like give yourself so much compassion because you probably have an eating disorder at one point and you didn't know. And now, you know, you can like check in with your body, 'cause like how often is it that us as fat people decide that like we need to be invisible because we're taking up too much space? You know, it's like,
Totally.
and we don't even want to touch into how we feel in this moment because we're afraid to feel anything. So.
Yes, we've been taught to really shrink ourselves, and that in every way. Like, I like that you said we can't even really feel our emotions because that even feels like taking up too much space. And it's a practice of realizing that you do deserve to take up that space and take up as much as you want. It
Yes.
definitely takes time.
So where are you at right now? It's you found yoga in your 20s, and you were trying to lose weight when you first started. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so this was around probably the same time when I lost a bunch of weight and was really into exercise and trying to eat healthy. I was introduced by a friend that was doing it, and we did a 30-day hot yoga challenge. And I think I was doing like a Beachbody workout and going to hot yoga every single
Oh
day. So
my
it was
God.
definitely like, looking back, it was definitely a little disordered and obsessive. But I didn't see it that way, of course, because you're being celebrated and everyone's telling you how you look and what a good job you're doing. And so I knew at that point that I liked yoga. I got introduced a little bit to the spiritual aspect of it, which always interests me, but I didn't really get into yoga for a long time. So I kept doing my beach body workouts for a while. And then once I kind of found intuitive eating and health at every size, I had to take a break from exercise for a bit because it was just coming from an obsessive place. But then after that, when I did come back to it, yoga was the only thing that felt like nourishing and felt like it wasn't trying to change my body. I was just trying to connect with my body. And now I pretty much do yoga 90% of the time. Sometimes I'll go for a run. Sometimes I'll do other things, but my heart definitely feels like when I want to do movement, yoga feels the best for me because of that mind-body connection that's offered that I don't see offered in as much in other forms of movement.
Totally. It's all about like push harder, feel more intensity and like things like that versus how do you feel? You know what I mean? It's like pushing yourself past those limits is not exactly the best thing all the time.
Totally. And like, I've been to some yoga classes too that have been like that, and it just turns me off right away. I like the idea of pushing ourselves, but in a compassionate way. And I feel like it's so individualized, and just telling a whole class to push themselves, I don't think is really meeting the needs of
like
anyone.
People love yoga for so many reasons that getting in touch with your body is such an important one. And if you want to progress in yoga, of course, if you're noticing you're more flexible and things like that, like just from practicing every single day, like that's the kind of stuff that I feel like really super duper empowered by, you know, not necessarily like I can bench press 500 pounds. Like that's not my vibe, you know?
Yeah, I love everything that you share. I found you, I think, a few weeks ago, and I love that your whole message is really, yeah, like anybody can do yoga because yoga isn't about the poses. It's about like your mind body connection and breathing into your body. And we can all feel some sort of stretch if we get into a position that feels good for us. And that is accessible to everyone. Yeah. Just might look different.
Oh, you're going to be such a great yoga teacher. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see, what's some like advice you can give anybody who is having trouble with like thinking about their body in a neutrality, body neutrality, or intuitive eating, or like even just a loving place?
Yeah, I think that with anything, the first step is always awareness. So, and that's also why I like yoga and why I like meditation, is because it's teaching us. And I know some people have a hard time starting meditation because it's like, oh, I'm not getting anything out of this and my brain's going everywhere. But that's the whole point, is to just keep coming back to that breath. And you don't realize it until you start to actually live your life out after you've been meditating for a bit that, oh, I actually can catch myself in that thought before I completely react. So being able to just notice when you're being a jerk to yourself or saying things to yourself and not being like, oh yeah, you're not allowed to talk to yourself like that. Instead, just being like, okay. Well, my favorite saying in the whole world is judgment over curiosity. And I don't even know where I heard that, but just like noticing your judgment and then being curious, like, where's that coming from? Why do I feel like that? Is something going on in my life that's making me feel this way today? Or, okay, how can I just let that be and just let it go and just be neutral? So if I don't like something that I'm wearing, or if I don't think I feel good, how can I just let that be and instead come back to this like present moment?
Such an amazing thought, judgment over curiosity. I have never heard that before, but I love it.
It's my favorite. I feel like anytime I'm trying to, like, I'm being judgmental, I'm like, okay, how can I just be curious?
Yeah,
instead?
Just noticing your judgment, you know, and accepting that it's happening, and then just being curious as to where it's coming from. That's amazing. I love that. I'm gonna like write that down and use that. Okay, so what about you said you found yoga through a friend, you did a challenge, and now you have so what's your practice like right now? Like you practice every day, you said?
Lately I have been practicing every day since I signed up for yoga teacher training. Before that it was probably like 3 to 5 days a week. I really try to check in with how I feel each day and if it feels nourishing, and also with the type. So I really try and check in with myself every morning and just take a little, I've been doing a little journaling where I'm checking in how I feel emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and physically, and then how I can support myself in those areas each day. And so I ask myself, would a run feel good, or would a yin yoga class feel good, or maybe a restorative, or maybe a vinyasa? And giving myself what I need in those days. And to be honest, a lot of days I do want yin. I do want restorative. Those feel really, really good in my body. But then there's days too, usually once a week or so, where I'm like, I have a lot of energy. I want to maybe go do a 5-minute run and come back and do a vinyasa. So I'm just checking in with myself, and I'm trying to do hour practices, just because the school that I'm with is offering like a live stream and they're like an hour class. So it kind of feels like being in a class, and I'm pushing myself a little bit more since it's an hour and it's live. So that's what I've been doing lately, and I'm enjoying
it. So this is through the, like, a yoga studio that you're doing it through?
Yeah, so it's my vinyasa practice is the school I'm going through, and then they have an extra service, which is live streaming. So I think it's because of COVID that they're, I'm not sure if they were doing it before, but I know definitely right now all their classes are virtual, and so it feels more a little bit like being in person compared to going to a YouTube video that I can pause or that's shorter. So yeah, I've been liking
and then classes. Meditation, tell me about what your meditation practice is like.
Yeah, I've been meditating for quite some time. I want to say at least like 6 years. And it started out with the Calm app. And I have to say, I still really enjoy a guided meditation. I'm usually using Insight Timer. Calm, I mean, I did the Calm app for like 2 years. So I think it got me in kind of what I like. So I really like 10-minute meditations that are guided. But I've been trying to branch off from that a little bit with yoga, and trying to do my own. I've also been running little like full moon and new moon ceremonies, and I've been leading my own meditations for the first time. And so that's been really cool to see how like all my years of meditating, I'm able to like kind of use some of that knowledge and lead someone through it. So, and I'm trying to almost get into a meditative state when I do that, but have to be careful. Otherwise I kind of lose my words. But yeah, I would say 10 minutes a day is my sweet spot, and guided.
Awesome. So new moon and the moon meditation, what kinds of things do you do differently on those ones?
So it's, we do like, I've been doing like little moon circles virtually. And the meditation part is usually just to ground ourselves. So I wouldn't say I do anything differently. I just am using that moment to kind of ground ourselves into the circle. I think that when people show up to something online, especially, and you've been home, your brain can kind of be everywhere. And so being able to just breathe together, even if it's only for like 5 minutes, I find it just brings everyone's presence back to kind of what we're doing and where we are. So it's been cool for me to be leading people through that, because I've never done that before till now.
That's a great idea. So how long have you had your Facebook group going? You said you just started it?
Yeah, that's probably this week.
I mean, it's so cool that you're doing it now at the beginning of your teacher training, because like your people can kind of see your journey as you go on it.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to create, kind of a co-collaborative space where people who are interested in the same things, we can come and kind of learn together. And at things that I'm interested in, I have a space to kind of post them and share them with people that might also find value from it.
So where are your feelings around being a fat yogi right now? Do you like love your body? Like, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I love my body some days. And I feel neutral about my body some days. I wouldn't say that I ever hate my body anymore. I've given up trying to, I just don't try and change it. Whenever I like get that thought that, oh, I should be thinner, or oh, you used to be thinner, I just always remind myself of like how much I was mentally suffering when I was trying to lose weight. And I never want to go back to that. So even if, like I found stretch marks on my body a couple months ago that I never had before. And I did have some thoughts come up at first, like, this isn't right. You're getting too big too fast. And instead I just practiced neutrality, and I was like, okay, well, what would I change? I wouldn't change anything because I don't want to go back to dieting. I don't want to be obsessive about exercise. So I can just live my life and trust that my body's going to be the size it's going to be, and it's going to change the way it changes, and that's okay and normal. And I think, like I said to you before, I think everyone can do yoga. And so I'm excited to be a yoga teacher in a bigger body and show people that it's possible. Thank you.
Do you have any like goals for being a yoga teacher?
I haven't really thought too much about that. So I think my goal is just to be accessible. So I want to learn more about like yoga for all bodies, because I know there's a lot of like specialization mm-hmm. trainings on that, and probably my yoga school won't cover that at all. So I would like to learn more about like chair yoga mm-hmm. and just like how to use props in a really helpful way. And because like I'm the type of person that will grab yes. all the props when I go to a class, and the teacher won't say to use them at all, but I'm always using them if I need. And I'm just like, I want other people to feel like, okay, these are here to support you and aid you to get the best stretch for you. And I guess just knowing how to offer those kind of adjustments.
Yes, and it's such a, it's an interesting concept, like grabbing the props in the yoga studio. You're like, should I, shouldn't I don't know, maybe. Nobody yeah. else is, should I not? And it's like the people who are completely comfortable in their own practice are the ones that it doesn't matter what the teacher says, but they're going to grab them because they know that's going to help their practice, you know, it'll help you get more grounded or be more aligned. I think like if I'm in half moon, I have to use a block. My hip is so much more comfortable with a block, you know, so certain poses is just, it's going to open you up so much more.
Totally. And I think it's like important to remember too, that every day you might feel different depending like when you're practicing too. You might have walked around, did stuff all day, so you're a little more stretched out if you're doing it in the evening than if you did it first thing waking up. And so just allowing your body to be different and to have a different form of flexibility each time you come to the mat is okay too.
That's such a great point. I'm glad you said that too, because yeah, like every single day your body is different, so you might as well just have it there for access, because like you don't want to run out of class and grab a block. You might as well just have it. So if you're going into a yoga class and you're like, should I or shouldn't I? Always a should. Just grab it just in case.
I always do, yeah. Even if I'm the only one in the class, I always, and sometimes you don't use yeah. them the whole practice, and that's okay. But like you said, totally. Just nice to have there.
And then like any more, okay. Feelings about the word fat. How do you feel about it?
I now feel empowered by it. I don't see it as anything bad at all. I think it's just a descriptor, just like yeah, you would say someone's tall.
I agree. Some people, you know, think it's not appropriate. Like you should be using the word curvy or plus size. I got a lot of feedback about that when I first started recording the Fat Yogi Show. And it's like, well, the feelings that are being brought up for you, it just means you haven't like resonated with that word. You're so afraid to say it because you don't want to be it, you know?
Totally. And I think that really comes down to a fear of how we see fat people mm-hmm. treated in the world that has instilled a fear in us. And also I know that a lot of people have trauma around that word because of how they've been treated, and that mm-hmm. word's been used against them. So I do understand where that comes from. But I think it's really empowering to be able to reclaim that word back. And that might not be for everyone, but for the people it is, it feels empowering. I love the name you. Of your show. It excites me.
Yeah, yeah. I felt empowered when I came up with the name, and I was like, this is it. Like, I can't name it something else. I'm sorry. Like, if you have an issue with it, that's on me. Yeah. But like, I'm here for you anyways, but it still will be called this. How about with positive stories around being a fat yogi? Like, what's the best story you have, like, or a positive moment you have around being a fat yogi?
I don't know, actually. I've never really thought of it. I think just realizing that it's not about how I look and it's about how the stretch feels has always been important to me. So no, and like seeing other fat yogis is really positive and inspiring to me. But when I'm in a pose, it's never about how it looks for me. It's always about how it feels. And I love how like one breath, one deep breath in and an exhale can like change the pose for you. Even if it's not physically changing it, it's all like how you're feeling in your body. And so I just love that you can do that no matter what your body size or abilities.
I love that too. And I've talked to, you know, all different sizes of fat yogis, some who are, like you said, on the smaller side like yourself, or even some that are like super fat, they labeled themselves that. And they say like that's their favorite thing is just the breathing, and that that is how you do yoga. And if you didn't know already, and I'm sure not you, but the people who are listening, yoga is just breathing. That's how it started. So if you can breathe, you can do yoga.
Totally.
Do you have any negative stories around being a fat yogi? Maybe somebody passing judgment on your body, or maybe yourself passing it in a class or anything like that?
I would just say myself. I've noticed before, like, I know a lot of girls will just wear like tights and a sports bra, and I feel so good wearing that at home, but I've tried to do that in yoga class and I can't get out of my head. I feel like people are looking at me. I feel like people probably are just judging me, and I know that doesn't matter, and I know I'm not judging myself, but I haven't done it in a while, but I did have troubles like focusing on my practice because I thought people were like, ooh, who is she to not be wearing a shirt?
Yeah. I mean, I practiced when I had my practice in an actual physical studio space before the pandemic. It was a hot yoga studio, and I would still practice with my shirt on because I didn't feel comfortable doing it. So I totally feel you. And even now when I'm practicing at home, my husband will say like, oh, I prefer if you didn't, you know, for everyone to see, that's, you know, and that's fine. Like, he can feel that way about it. And we've had conversations about like, well, you know, it is my body, so I can dress however the fuck I want. So back the fuck off. You know? But at the same time, like, you know, considerations for your spouse or loved ones, of course. But yeah, like me personally being comfortable with it, I still don't feel comfortable putting myself out there in a sports bra all the time, you know, occasionally to make a point maybe, but usually I'm wearing a shirt because yeah, like that's just something in my head too, where I can't like maybe get over that hump. So I feel you on that.
Yeah. I just find it takes me away from my practice because I'm too focused on, are they judging me? Which really does not matter, but
it's so funny because like, we all think everyone's looking at us and we're not even looking at them, and nobody's looking at you. We're all so focused on ourselves that nobody's paying attention, but we think they are. You know, it's this crazy mind warp that you put yourself in.
Totally. And even if somebody was judging me, like, it has more to, I know it has to do with them. It doesn't have anything to do with me. So at the end of the day, even if they are like, oh, who is she to not be wearing a shirt? That really isn't my problem or have anything to do with me.
Let's see. Any last words on the topic of being fat? What would you like to share with everyone?
I would just like to share that representation, I think, is really important. And if you are someone that's trying to work on accepting yourself in a bigger body, I think that diversing your social media and diversing, I guess social media, if you can diverse your friend group in person, I think that's cool too. But especially on social media, don't just follow all these bodies that you think you should look like. Follow a whole range of people in different sizes, people of different abilities, and just normalize it. I think that was a big part of my healing, was just normalizing that, okay, it is normal for bodies to look all different sizes, shapes, colors, everything, and seeing that more often normalizes it for yourself.
I love that advice. It's like my favorite tip And I'm so glad you said that.
So helpful.
And then, like, let's just plug all your stuff again before we get into the last little bit. Your Facebook groups. Go ahead and say the name again.
Yeah, so it's Moved by the Stars. So you can find it at facebook.com/groups/ awesome. Moved by the Stars.
And then your Instagram handle?
Oh, is also Moved by the Stars.
And then you're being taught from my vinyasa class. Is that what it's called?
My vinyasa practice.
Very cool.
Yeah, and they're in Austin, Texas, I think.
Oh, that's really cool then. So, like, you're really remote, like, from them.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But it's cool. I really wanted to find a school that had a physical location and that actually did online teacher training as well. Oh, cool. And so they do that.
So, like, let's get into the last bit. So the five favorites, or is there anything you want to bring up before we get into the last favorites? Any last words?
No, I don't think so. I think I've kind of okay. said everything. Cool.
All right. So five favorites. What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal is sushi or poke.
Like, when you said that, I was like, this girl is my sister. I
can't go wrong.
The other day, okay, this is a funny story that I have to say because it's a sushi related story. My husband and I were having some alone time, and afterwards I was like, I'm gonna take a bath, and I said, go get me sushi. Bring it to me while I take a bath. And he's like, okay. And I had sushi in the bath, and it was the best bath ever.
Oh, that's amazing.
So if you're wondering if you should, it's a yes.
I love that. My boyfriend doesn't really like sushi, and it's so sad because I still go with my friends by myself, but like I can never go when we're going out
yeah,
for a date night.
A bummer. Like, you... yeah, because there's not like many other options in sushi restaurants if you don't like sushi.
Nope. I think he can like only get like gyoza, and that's it.
Yeah,
so
that's a bummer for him. He just needs to suck it up.
I totally agree.
What's your favorite TV show?
My all-time favorite is The OC, but it's just like a old school, okay. close to my heart because I loved it as a teenager. But I've been loving
yes.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay,
lately.
So I haven't watched it recently, but I love RuPaul's Drag Race. It's so good.
It is so good. I love it.
What's your favorite so book? Fun.
I like anything by Jodi Picoult. She's my favorite writer, and they're all like fiction books, but like kind of crime, and they're just super deep and intense. And so, any of her
yeah,
books.
Yeah, didn't
are my
she
favorite.
Write My Sister's Keeper? Yeah, so I read
she
that.
She did, yeah.
The movie was disappointed with the movie, of course, but like the book was so good. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I like love her writing for sure.
Yeah, I like that it's always like different point of views of everyone in the story. And how do you even do that with a totally. Movie? Like, you just can't get into people's yeah. heads the same way.
What's your favorite Instagram account?
I would say Rising Woman. I was in a group in person with them, and so they've been really influential on me, and their work is really, really healing.
Oh,
and
I love it. Okay. Good. And then your favorite way to spend a day off?
I did a lot of that with COVID when I was laid off. So sleeping in, waking up, doing a meditation, some yoga, like a little devotional time, affirmations, and then making myself breakfast, which was usually like eggs and coffee, and then going in the park and just reading in the sun. And then maybe not during COVID, but on a perfect day, going in, meeting up with friends later and having some connection and laughs.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Nice and relaxing.
All right, so any last words about anything that you'd like to share?
I think I would just say to anyone who is maybe feeling a little triggered with this idea of kind of just accepting your body and letting it be the size it is to just have compassion for yourself and be gentle. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is just learning how to be on the same side with your body and understand that you guys are a team, and finding ways to work together instead of against your body, I think, is the ultimate
goal. That's such great advice. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Shelby, for everything. And I can't wait to like release this episode. I know everyone is going to love it so much. And that's it from us. So thanks so much for your time. Bye. And thank you so much for listening to the show today, friends. Be sure to check our guest out. They were awesome. And we just want to send so much support their way. So check the show notes for any of the details that you missed. And also be sure to check out my yoga schedule, fatyogicrew.as.me. I would love to have you a part of the crew and be joining in some yoga sessions with me. I love that I've created a community of people online where we can all come together and just love our bodies through yoga. Thanks so much and have a wonderful day. Bye!